Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Now, while building websites, client communication is very important. Now, quality of communication and messaging with client can result in a lot of things. It can result in more money as a result of more follow-up work from satisfied clients. On the contrary, it can be a mind-draining experience for both the parties. Now, to talk about this and a lot more, we have Vito Pelag on the show today. So let's welcome Vito. Hi, Vito. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Davinder?
I am doing good. So before we get on with this topic of client communication, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Sure. So I built my first website when I was actually 14 years old. Wow. It was on GeoCities, if you remember that.
I wasn't 14 then, but then I do remember.
So it was just like a small website for my skateboarding crew at the time when I was still in school. But that kind of got me into HTML and really starting to get familiar with the web when it was really, really young, you know, just when it first started. Then I pretty much at the same time, I also started playing an instrument, playing guitar and started to sing, which became my next 15 years where I was a musician and we actually toured the world. Which was started through online activities as well. So we were playing just in our own country for really small amounts of people. But I really dug into digital marketing and really understand how to approach larger audiences abroad. And when we started applying all of this, within the first 30 days of launching the strategy, we got signed here in the UK where I live right now. Mm-hmm. And we moved here, the entire band moved here and started touring around Europe. And we started with like 10 people, then you know, 10 people in the crowd, then a few dozens, a few hundreds, then a few thousands, then the band broke up. But while this was happening, I was, you know, even though the band seemed successful and we were playing and releasing albums worldwide, we didn't make any money. So I had to do something which kind of brought me back to that digital world and building websites, which I started building from the back of the van for clients. So people that knew the stuff that I was doing through the band approached me and said, like, I need a new website for my photography business or whatever. And so I started a design agency from the back of the van. When the band finally broke up, I started doing this transition from a freelancer to an agency and started looking into how can I scale this thing up. Within the first year, I got to six figures here in the UK. And within the third year, I already had a team of 12 guys, all working, serving clients on a daily basis. And as I was scaling, it became really apparent that it's really hard to manage multiple projects, you probably know. It wasn't that hard to bring on the work. It was more hard to just keep them going and keep the project running as we need stuff from the client and they need stuff from us. So all of these kind of things. When I researched why this is taking so long and what is the actual problem, where is the leak in the cash flow, it always came down to client communications. No matter what, how I framed it, that was always the source of the problem. And so we created a tool to try and help us within the agency manage our client communications. And it worked brilliantly. And this is now WP Feedback, which is a plugin that WordPress professionals can install on their clients' websites. And it's basically like having the client sitting next to you pointing at the screen, mm-hmm. only without the human contact. So there's no back and forth. And there's no one sitting next to you telling you what to do. They can simply sprinkle stickers all around their own live website so that you can communicate in a much, much more efficient way.
So you went from freelancer to agency owner to product maker. And we're going to talk about that. But on a lighter note, you've been associated with music and rock and roll for a lot of lot of good time of your youngster age. Like,
yeah,
if you had to give a little small introduction, the same introduction in rock and roll style, how would you do that? A little eager?
My guitar is not here, but I think I'll do it with this. You know, I'll do the same introduction with the Wayne's World hat.
Awesome. So you already mentioned it, like, and even you quoted this in the podcast prep document, like, as I was scaling my agency, it became harder and harder to manage multiple clients, and which caused delays and hurt the cash flow. And on yes. investigation, the main problem that you drilled down was client communication. Now, isn't this the client communication pain point very common among agency owners, especially when you graduate from a freelancer to agency owner and you have more employees and more projects and more variety of clients, then it gets little more aggravated or gets more visible?
Yes, for sure. When I was handling clients one at a time, it was never an issue.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't there, you know, I was literally, you know, touring the world in a van and communicating with clients via email and sometimes through calls whenever we could. But that wasn't a problem, mostly because I was just doing one thing and focusing on it as I was delivering the project. And also, you know, when you're not managing a huge team, you don't have this stress of overhead hovering above you. But when you have to pay the bills and you have to pay salaries every month, every minute that is being delayed is accumulating and can create huge effects on the business in the long run. So at the beginning, I didn't even think about it. So when I scaled, and only once I had a team that needed to communicate with clients and I didn't want to be part of it anymore, I wanted to be the one building the business and growing taking us to the next step, not checking where the button on the third page is and stuff like that. So that's when things started to become a mess. Yeah.
Okay. Now you have WP Feedback as your product, which obviously is also for other agency owners that they can buy and use in their client communication process. But I'm sure even you use it now in your agency.
Yes.
But when you were in, let's rewind and to those early agency days. Now, during that time, when you just started as an agency owner and had few employees, what was your method of client onboarding and communication henceforth at that time?
Right. So at first, I just I didn't have any process. That was the mistake. Now looking back, so everyone could contact me in whatever way that they wanted. So I would get messages directly to me on WhatsApp. Exactly. People calling me whatever hour it is. They didn't care. Messages on WhatsApp, voice messages. That was my nightmare. The voice messages on WhatsApp. I hate them. And then on Facebook and they send emails, but it just became a huge mess. Once we started systemizing this, we looked into a few different ways. So first of all, you know, project management system and all of these kind of things, we started implementing that into the business. I think it's a transition that every professional goes through. So once you start seeing the traffic coming in and you need to juggle a few things at the same time, you start looking for tools that will help you systemize the process. And so we did like project management tools. Loads of them. We tried all of them. We did FreedCamp at first and then Trello and Basecamp. Now we're still using Teamwork for a few years now. And then we also, in terms of getting content from clients, I tried creating like an elaborate gravity form that just asked like with all of this conditional logic based on what kind of project this is, if it's a small website, if it's an e-com website. It took me a couple of weeks to build this form, and only one client actually used it. And no one else actually went through that process. And we did like long Word documents with the placeholder text. We tried everything. The point with gathering content and approving designs is that the client doesn't live in the same reality as we do.
Yeah.
So they don't see the computer in the same way that we look at it, you know? So if they're seeing a form, it's already daunting, you know, it's already too much. If they're seeing like a page with like a few, like a Word document with a page to it, oh my God, you know, I have other stuff to do. Already too much. The idea is to make it seem like it's so simple for the client that they don't get scared off. And that's basically what we're doing with those stickers. Just intuitive and simple in their mind. Yeah,
regarding that client perspective of looking at things, like when I was early in the tech support thing, like we used to get a call like, my computer is broken. And we will take it literally, my computer is broken. Did you break it with a hammer or what happened? So, but then that means it's not starting up, right? Not broken in real sense. So
yeah,
because clients are not as geeky or technical as you are, because we would understand PHP, CSS, at least on the foundation level, but you don't expect clients to learn it because that's what they're paying you for, right?
So exactly.
In the whole, you know, process of, starting, you know, communicating with the client, there are a lot of milestones, like from the point when client comes to you for website estimate to the point of website completion. Now, yeah, for an efficient client communication process that's quicker for both the parties, which milestones are most important and require more attention in this whole journey of starting a website and then finishing a website?
Right. So I broke it down to 5 steps. You have the onboarding process, and mm-hmm. then which includes the discovery, where you actually talk to the client and understand who they are, what they are, who the target audience is, and what is their USP, unique selling proposition, so that you can actually build the website to fit not our needs and not the client's needs, but his audience needs, you know, his client's needs. That's the first step. Then we're going and creating a prototype to illustrate what is going to be laid out in every section of the site. Mm-hmm. That is being then sent to the client for approval. A lot of times, you know, it's just bare bones, lorem ipsums and black and white images. Sometimes they come back saying, oh, it looks amazing, it's ready. You know, even though they didn't really realize that it was no design at all. So that's the prototype stage. Then once that's approved, that also gives them the sense of what kind of content we need from them. So just by placing lorem ipsum where the text should be and giving really small instructions like here we should have 2 sentences about who you are. You know, this should be the main call to action. Or that would be like, please insert your address.
Now you are elaborating the whole thing. Yes, a few days back a funny thing happened. Like someone just shared it. Like I sent a prototype, you know, the mock-up of the website to the client, and clients come back and says, I can't click on the button. Well, that was a JPEG image of the prototype.
Right. Yeah. So this is exactly the difference in reality that I'm talking about. It's crazy how far apart we are, you know, from some of these people. And it's so easy to just think in our digital terms. And because, like you said, we see the matrix, you know, we look at a computer, we see code, we see functions. They see a piece of plastic with a screen on it, you know?
Yeah.
So prototype, that was the second stage. After that allowed us to get the content in. And a lot of times that's where the project stayed, you know, without any progress because they didn't give us the content. Mm-hmm. Then you have the design stage where we take everything and just, you know, splash color on it and style. After that, a bit of design, testing, and launch.
Okay. And based on your experience, which stage or the milestone in this whole process is the most troublesome from client communication process?
I think it's the content section. It's the first, but because it's the first time you need to get the client to act. It's not that hard to talk about yourself. You know, we all love to talk about ourselves. So if we get that notion over to the client to realize that all you're doing is just telling, it's like you're selling to one of your clients just on a page. But because because they look at the page and like we said, it's just an image for them. It's not a person. So it makes it really hard for them to comply and give us what we need. I had one guy that took a full year to just deliver the about page, and the project is just staying there. You know, nothing is happening. Just follow up emails, and nothing coming back. There's one really funny one. That's actually one of the biggest triggers for the plugin. Someone literally we explained to them what kind of content we need and everything. And he sent me 25 pages of content with images inside. Everything looked, everything inside the one kind of document. but he printed it out and sent it in an envelope to our office here. So we had 25 pages, including the logo printed out, you know, and we had to print to just type back in into the computer. Horrible, horrible mess.
But you got your content, right? Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah, but you got your content. Yeah, what are you complaining about? There it is, you know.
Yeah, because getting content is very troublesome. And also from, you know, transparency or education point of view, most clients would assume that you're building the website, so you're writing the content. So the education part is also missing. Like a lot of people don't even educate clients and they just start with, you know, they will sign up and take the prepayment and then come, oh, I have to write the content. You didn't tell me.
Yeah. And the funniest thing is that a lot of agencies at this stage, or a lot of professionals at this stage say, oh, okay, you don't have the content, you signed the contract, you paid the deposit, now I'm not going to do anything until you get me the content, yeah. Which is insane if you think about it. You know, like if you go to a shop and buy a pair of shoes and the guy's like, okay, you paid for the shoes, but until you go and get socks, you're not going to get the shoes.
Yeah, but to be honest, I've switched my model like 4 or 5 years back. Like I would not start a project if I don't have the content with me. Like I won't even take the prepayment. Like most of my designing is based on content. It's like content first design, because when you have the actual content, when you have the headline, sub headline, you know, all the quotes, you can design actually better layout for that client rather than grabbing a template or just, you know, doing that dreamy lorem ipsum stuff. So that doesn't work, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with this. Like, it's always better to design around the text, but reality tells us a different story, you know, that it's rarely happens. It rarely happens that you would get the text before you have the design. Also, if you get the text, you just get chunks of text. It's not formatted for the design. So the length of the items are not proper. And you know, like you might have a chunk where you should be, like, you know, how you have those three icons almost in every website now. So you need just like one sentence and not like this one will have five sentences. This will have two words.
They have to be equal.
Yeah, exactly. But visually you can't explain that. Like if it's not, you can't really explain that. What I like about what you said is that you didn't take the deposit initially, you know, because the absurd is taking the money and then sending the client off to work himself instead of us doing the work somewhere.
This gives bad reputation, not to that person, but to whole industry overall. Like I don't know why I get those clients who got burned out by a few other developers. And when they tell their sob stories, well, I'm saying sob story, but they've been really burned in real sense. Like even I get surprised, like someone could from my fraternity could do that to that person. Like there are obviously, I wouldn't paint everyone with the same color, but there are people in our industry, well, it happens in every industry, that they would just be there for money and not for quality work. And
yes,
that kind of gives bad reputation to almost all people. Like, and even recently a client came and that client was kind of had a bad experience with two people. And that person just started asking me questions based on that experience. I said, I don't do that like that. And seriously, you don't do that? I said, I don't do that. And I didn't even take prepayment for that client because, you know, you got to establish trust in those clients first. And then, you know, money can definitely build trust and break trust depending on which fence side of the fence you're sitting. Okay. So that's like the communication part. Now let's talk about the medium of communication. Now, most agencies won't do on-site client visits and most would prefer the online communication method. Now, when your whole communication process is remote, aka online, what are your few do's and don'ts in this regard?
Right. So first of all, we did a massive survey when we started this plugin and we surveyed more than 500 WordPress professionals to ask them how they do it. So we have that insight to really understand how other people are getting content, approving designs and providing support. And basically, the biggest, in one word, email. That's the king of everything. Like 90% of everyone, that's not really the number, I have the number there, but something like 90% all chose email as their main form of communication, which is perfect. That's
love
that's perfect.
And hate, it gets both.
Sorry?
Love and hate, it gets both.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, for the lab, I can definitely see that as the main kind of tool. First of all, the client knows how to use it already.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier. You don't need to train them on that sense. Also, it's kind of it's the most common way to organize items. So even if you're using like a support desk, it's basically still emails. You know, you're just getting emails into that desk. So what we're doing is we're enhancing emails. So this means that like, and I also have this kind of obsession of removing clicks. That's my, part of my game. The least clicks we can get a task to happen, the better. My competition is against the reply button. How can I make this more efficient than clicking reply and writing back an email? And so like for one of the downsides of having this is that most clients will, like you said, the computer is broken, right? That's this kind of emails that we're getting every day. The computer is broken. The site is not working. What? So many things can happen, you know? So then starts this back and forth. You go to the client and you ask, okay, the site is broken. What does that mean? What page are you looking at? What kind of device are you on? What kind of screen size is this? What browser are you using? Which page out of all of the, I don't know, 20,000 page posts that you have on this website is broken? So all of this back and forth is very, very frustrating for the developer and, of course, even more for the client that most times have no idea what I just said. What is the browser? I just have the internet button on my desktop. That's what you. What we're doing is enhancing it in a way that when the client leaves the comment, it binds the request directly to where the problem is. On the notification, you're getting the screen size where the client created the problem.
The browser.
You get the browser, exactly. You click that button, like clicking the reply button, and you're being redirected to that exact location where the issue is, scrolling to where it is, and boom, the pop-up opens. So you can write your message in the same efficiency as clicking the reply button, only that you got all of this knowledge before you replied to that request. So that is the challenge, just trying to kind of keep this within the flow of how people are used to communicate, which is email by far best than anything else out there. But removing all of this confusion and all of this back and forth from this communication.
Okay, now just curious, like when you were in the beginning of your agency life, say you were using a specific project management tool, for example, Asana, and a client comes to you and says he's not comfortable using that to interact with you. Did you ever shift changing the tool as per the client request during those days?
Yes, many times. And I realized that there's no use of getting the trying to train the client on using project management tools. It just doesn't work. It's too much for them. They are working on the go, you know. What we need to realize is that while we're sitting in an office looking at the computer, a lot of times that's not the day-to-day of the client. They might be driving around all day. They might be going from one meeting to another. They might be sitting in an office but using their own tools and their own kind of project management system for their own industry or whatever. So training them on a complex, robust system doesn't work. We do use a project management system for us. It's an organization tool for me and my team within the agency. And we gave up completely on trying to get the client on board with this.
Okay, now let's talk about tools in the communication process. Now, we love to get overwhelmed with tools because there's a tool for every small little thing in WordPress ecosystem. And there's a tool for, say, content collection, there's project management tool, there's the support ticket tool. Man, this list gets no end point when you're running an agency, and you won't even remember how many tools license you own as an agency owner just to, you know, build or try to, you know, mix match, mash up those tools to find that perfect client communication or process on building website. Isn't this attempt of mixing and mix matching, you know, adds complexity to already stressful communication process? Like, you're taking one tool from here, one from here. Okay, We'll use two together. Yeah. We'll make separate accounts for each and make a client also make separate account for every other tool. Isn't this too overwhelming, not for you, but even for client?
I totally agree. It's a mess. You know, you can jump between different platforms and all, and just try to perform one simple task, logging into each one of these third-party platforms. That's basically one of the reasons why we moved to Teamwork a couple years ago, because it gave us one platform for project management, support, and our chat. So we replaced Zendesk. Slack, and we replaced Trello. I think we were using it. I think just before that, we were using Trello. So we got three in one, and everything communicates with one place. You don't need to log into different areas. And this is, I think that this is where things are going now, because while for specific small tasks, you might need a specializing tool, for processes that are going or happening on an ongoing basis, it's better to try and find some system that can match all of your needs into one. And well, actually, this is exactly what we're doing with WP Feedback, because the way I kind of market it is get content, approve designs, and provide support. One tool to rule them all. This actually works on a few levels. First of all, less payments for the agency on an ongoing basis, mm-hmm. which we all know the huge pain of these ongoing payments every month. Secondly, you don't need to log into different tools that have different UIs and different interfaces that you need to learn yourself, train the team, train the client. Also, in terms of integrations between the things, you need to build all kinds of elaborate integrations. But most importantly, it's the training of the client. So that's why most people, as we've seen on the surveys and when we're talking to the audience, we can see that most people just end up using email, because that doesn't require you to train the client. You know, you just tell them, send me an email. So the game is, you know, when you're going to one platform and you're trying to train the client, imagine the fact that the entire project, if everything goes well, it's only 6 weeks. You know, you get the deposit, you get the content within the first 2 weeks, you do the design 2 weeks more, you get approval on the design, you wrap things up, and you go and you launch, which starts the care plans and support.
Yeah.
6 weeks from start to finish. Within those 6 weeks, you need to train the client on three different systems that are completely beyond what they're used to be using. And so, like, having one tool that is super intuitive, you just tell the client, click the plus icon and comment everywhere within your own website, and that's it. You train the client in one sentence from the beginning of this until the end of your relationship, years after, you know, including the support period. Cool. And so I do agree with you. It's a mess, and this is something that we're trying to fix with the tool.
Okay, now let's talk about the process of measuring the efficiency of the process. Now, how can an agency or even a freelancer measure the efficiency of their current client communication process to understand the major bottlenecks? Obviously, the next step would be tackling those bottlenecks, but how can one identify the bottlenecks?
Right. So we kind of took it into a science here. Even my agency, it was the great place to experiment with these things. We calculated 3 hours per week, mm-hmm. per team member saved by using WP Feedback. And this is the most, like, this is not only time saved, this is the most mind-numbing time that you can have.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure because I see that the video went off for a second.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So
I'm saying like that, 3 hours per week, but it's 3 hours of the most wasteful time that you can imagine, because it's back and forth with the client. Everyone gets pissed off, and confusion time of just wandering around the random website, trying to find what the client is talking about, where the problem is. So this is like really wasteful, this thing. And it's not only a matter of time, it's a matter of mindset for the support agents and for the team. The way that we did this is we literally checked times. So we didn't install, before we installed all the plugins, we did 1 week of checking every client communication with timers. through like our through our project management system, and we checked timers, how much time is being spent on client communications. Every time from the second a support agent sees the ticket until he finished this communication. Then we did the same thing a week after we installed this tool on all of the clients' websites. So that's like, I don't expect anyone else to actually do this meticulous process, but we just did it to see the effect. Another cool thing is that we're doing once a week, and this is something cool for the listeners. Once a week, we're doing a weekly report that is being sent out to all of the active clients. So everyone that has a project that is ongoing, in progress, and everyone that is within our care plans. Which means on this report, we're doing like, what have we done this week, what we're doing now, and what is going to be done next. Just these 3 points once a week. And it takes about 15 to 30 minutes per client to gather this data, to go and look in the support desk, look in the project management system, and wrap all of this, to send out this report. Now, it's done. Once a week, every Friday, the client just gets it. We don't need to do anything. Okay. It just sent out automatically.
Okay, now for all those freelancers or agency owners listening to this episode, I want to ask you this question. Now, you did a lot of research on this efficiency measuring and identifying the problem. Which was the most common problem in the whole client communication process that you identified? Because I'm going to ask you this question. I'm asking you this question because someone would raise hand. Oh, I can identify with that.
Yeah, with that part. So, you know, I can make a joke and say like the most common communication is make the design pop, you know. But make the logo bigger.
There's no animation. There's no motion. Well, there's so many terminologies these days.
Yeah. Well, it needs to have more wow factor. But in reality, the biggest thing is just short communications from the client. So just these one sentences that we're all getting, like the form doesn't work. Which form, which page, what are you talking about? We had one during the testing period that sent us, it's an e-commerce website with about 1500 web products on it, WooCommerce website, and the client sent us a message saying, I can't see the add to cart button. Okay, that's pretty broad, but it's a big website and they sell a lot, so we took it seriously. We went to the website, we're looking there, it's there, you know, you see the add to cart button on all the products that we've seen. So you go back to the client and say, send him a screenshot, but we can see it. Can you explain what exactly you're experiencing, where you are, what is going on? The reply back is, why don't you understand? I can't see the add to cart button. That's the response back, you know, like, all right. So now you start looking at all of these things. Eventually, Davinder, what it was is that one of the products ran out of stock, so the button disappeared.
Yeah.
But it took us literally 47 minutes, I remember, because that was when we were testing, 47 minutes to just pinpoint what the hell the client was talking about. And this is one of our best clients. He was just, after we did this, I actually talked to him, and I told him about this story. And he's like, I'm sorry, but you know, I was in the shop and we had people coming in and you know, so, and someone was just telling me this. So I passed it on to you. He was showing me this on his phone and I just passed it on to you. I didn't realize that this is what what happened on your side, that you started running around the website looking for it. So again, it's not whose fault is it? It's just a difference of how we perceive reality.
Okay, now let's talk about WP Feedback, your plugin that solves...
I've been pumping this from the beginning of the conversation.
No, but now it's an open ground here.
Right, okay.
Only you are the musician and you are the singer, lead singer. So we've talked about a lot of pain points in client communication processes. Now, how does WP Feedback solve problem with that regard, and at what stages of the whole website building process?
Right. So I like, let's start from the beginning. The beginning for me in terms of WP feedback is I see it as the gateway to WordPress. That's how we use it within our with our clients. So this means, and we all know that, you know, while we look at the WordPress dashboard and, you know, it's like looking at the back of my hand now after more than 10 years of seeing it, clients don't like it. You know, they fear going and logging into their own website. It looks scary and it looks confusing to them. So that's why I like to call it the gateway to WordPress, because as you, the first touch point with the client in regards to the website should be through the plugin. So this means that when you present the design or you present the prototype for the first time, the first experience that they will have is an interactive experience with their own website. They click the plus icon and they can choose any element of the live website to leave a comment that is then being sent out back to them with notifications, back to you with notifications, managed in the dashboard in the back end that is designed not to look like WordPress, but to look like the tools that they're already using. Looks like their Facebook account, looks like their Gmail account. So they already kind of feel at home. That's the first thing as the kind of gateway to the to WordPress. Mm-hmm. In terms of use cases, and my main kind of ideas is using it as a way to gather content. So what we do is we sprinkle lorem ipsums and then add the stickers on where we need clients to give us content. And then you have a little button that sends out a report to the client once you're done sprinkling all of these things. They get one email with links. They click through and it takes them to exactly where they need to give you the content for each one of these things.
So they just click on that spot where you have added the lorem ipsum and they a pop-up will appear and they can actually type in the real content, right?
Exactly. It's not updating it automatically, of course, because everyone has their own builders and stuff, but it gives you one place where you have that content. Mm-hmm. Also, if, as of next Monday, as of this Monday, we're going to have this the upload the file feature. So for example, if they don't like the image, they can simply upload an image in there or upload a PDF into that comment. Mm-hmm. The file will go directly into the media folder for that same website. So you don't need to download and re-upload it as a developer. Okay. You can always just like choose it and work with it. That's the second use case actually, which is design, approving designs. So for every revision round, we turn on the plugin, tell the client, cool, now you can go and give us the revision now has now started and it's going to be going for the next 3 days. After 3 days, we're going to shut down the process of feedback. So you can't give us, that's the revision round. And instead of, because it's always a hard thing to describe, how do you tell them what is a revision round and how to frame that? So the way we do it, like, ask for as much stuff as you want, as long as it's within those 3 days. If you haven't done it in those 3 days, that's it. The process is done. We're considering it as the website is perfect. And then you, again, you can turn it back on and off. So they know that after 3 days, like, they're just not going to be able to comment anymore. You turn it off, you do the revisions again, and then you open it again for 3 more days for revision round 2. We give up to 3 revision rounds. Usually 2 is enough. Mm-hmm. And then finally, once we launch the website, that's where the magic really happens, which is the ongoing support. It's really hard to get clients to pay for ongoing support. You know what I'm talking about.
Everyone is a geek who needs a developer.
Yeah. and because they can't see the value in what we're trying to
till the time your website goes down and exactly. are reminded of exactly. those good people.
Exactly. So, because they don't see what, like, they don't care about updates. They don't care about the security. It's, again, not in the reality. So what is in the reality? Visual stuff. So by having those stickers sprinkled throughout the website and giving them the ability to just click something and leave a comment, even on their phone, it visualizes the value that you're giving them for the care plan. You can even have, like what we're seeing with some of the users, they're limiting the amount of stickers for each plan. So you want to create 10 tasks. That's the base plan, you know. They already know what it is because they worked on it throughout the build. So you don't need to explain what you mean by 10 stickers. They already have that kind of sense of how that works. But if you want more stickers, no problem. There's higher plans, 100 stickers per month, $700, right? So that's the kind of like the three main pillars. Content, designs, and support.
So just to summarize the whole thing, I think WP feedback works at almost every stage of the project, starting off from collecting, you know, the content, then to designing and getting revisions for design, and then the website is launched, and then for the follow-up support, the clients can just click, point, and tell which all things need to be changed on their monthly or yearly, you know, care plan thing. And obviously, exactly. You can upsell them with this sticker formula.
Yeah. There's actually a few more tricks that we're working on to allow developers to upsell even further. Mm-hmm. So once you get the client within the website, the cool thing is that this, and I'm sure you would agree with this, Davinder, if you have clients that feel comfortable within their website, that log in on a regular basis, that they feel comfortable posting a blog post, you know, basic stuff. I'm not saying something elaborate, but the basic functions of using WordPress, they will not bother you with stupid questions, first of all. They will try to figure it out on their own. Because they understand the value of this amazing like marketing platform that you built for them, they will come back. They will come back for more elaborate features, more complex stuff, you know, like a booking system or a funnel or a client area for their own clients. Yeah. It inspires them to do more. And that's one of the coolest thing that we're seeing with this thing, because if the clients doesn't go to their own website and we as developers don't encourage them to do that, we're just putting ourselves in a loss in terms of these upsells in long term.
Okay, cool. So all those people who are listening to this show, the website address is wpfeedback.co. That's co, not .com. So obviously the link would also be in the show notes. Now let's switch gears and talk about your toolbox. So which are your current five favorite tools that power your online business? Right.
Funalytics is one of the coolest thing that I've used.
You are also in funnels, right?
I love funnels. Yeah.
Everyone is.
Now it's like a term. I did like when I started using it, I used it for the band to sell albums to.
It's just like a new iPhone thing, right?
Yeah, but that's a great tool, and I love it. Active Campaign is completely transformed my life. I would also say, well, in terms of let's talk a little bit about WordPress. I used to use Xtheme for years. Okay. All of our websites were Xtheme and Pro, but we just recently started moving to Elementor.
And which theme are you using with Elementor?
Well, we use the page builder framework, but now we're experimenting with the Hello theme as well. I heard it was got knocked off the repository.
Believe me, page builder framework is 100 times better than the other theme we're talking about. So yeah, continue. But you can always be adventurous.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to experiment with the different things, but just through David, he kind of introduced me to page builder frameworks, and I love it. It's so light and so kind of to the point, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of wish that I've built my own WP feedback website with it as well, which we didn't. This was already maybe on the redesign. I do think that Elementor has completely transformed the way that we build websites.
Yeah.
In terms of, well, you know, page builders have been around. You and I have been in the industry for long enough to see them come in, you know. When I started, there was nothing like this. But in the past 2 years, I think Elementor is just like schooling everyone else.
Yeah, page builders were there before also, but they were not good enough. Like they were like they were like just an extra accessory kind of a thing. Like if you want to use it, just use it, but it may not work, right? But now it's like main course. Like it works. They are solid.
Yeah, it's like that's the way we do it. Yeah. Like if you want to build a website, you need to choose a page builder in the same way that you choose a theme.
Yeah.
And I, to be honest, I think the themes are going to die out eventually and it's all going to be done within the builder. That's kind of what I'm seeing the community going to. Yeah, I think these are the main ones. What else?
You forgot WP feedback.
WP feedback is always in my heart.
Okay, so next is, which is a recommended web hosting service?
Kinsta, one word.
Cool.
No doubt about it at all.
You've been using Kinsta for a long time, I guess?
Yes, I've done the transition because, well, we don't host website for clients, but we do recommend where to go, you know? So it gives us the flexibility in terms of choosing the provider that works.
So all the people, all the websites that you have on your care plans, you don't actually host them on your, you know, accounts.
No.
You ask them to buy their own hosting and you only take care of their website. Is that correct?
Exactly. We get the affiliate money from these things. But we allow the companies to handle this themselves. I'm not a hosting company. That's what I keep telling the client.
This is a better way to do it. But obviously there are people who will buy a big VPS or dedicated server and dump all the client website. But then everyone has their own business model and stuff. So next question, I already know the answer, but I'll still ask, maybe you want to change the answer, which is your recommended page builder. I'm going to reword it and I'm going to say Beaver Builder, Divi, Thrive, Brizzy, Oxygen, and there's something called Elementor.
Right. I tried Beaver Builder for a few websites. We did last year this kind of volunteering event here in London. There is a charity, actually a beautiful charity, if people want to check out, 48 in 48, which is a charity that helps other charities get a website, like a WordPress website, in 48 hours. So yeah. They kind of do events all around the world, and we were working with them here in London. Mm-hmm. And I heard about Beaver Builder from a few places before, like Troy Dean was a huge advocate of Beaver Builder when I was doing the elevation course. But I never really got a chance to play with it. I was happy with Cornerstone and X-Team. But during that kind of process, because they already had like their own tools for the charities, we had to use Beaver Builder. So the entire team learned how to do it. And we actually, it was really fun. We built eight, we thought we were going to build like three websites in 48 hours. We ended up building eight websites in 48 hours. Throughout the entire team here, and all was done through Beaver Builder, but then we kind of already been in this kind of transition period, so we said, all right, let's try Elementor as well because we're already experimenting and stuff, and we never installed Beaver again after that. I think they have a great product, but they need to keep up. If that's the, like, you know, it's the same for all of us.
You know a lot of people ask about Beaver Builder. I'm the entrenched Beaver Builder user. I only use Beaver Builder. Thing is, Beaver Builder is not that it won't add all the shiny stuff there because that's not their philosophy. Like they work more on having the neat code base and all that stuff. And they are mostly targeted, and Beaver Builder actually is mostly targeted at agency owner or someone who build more than two websites, not for hobbyist. For hobbies, there are already so many options. Some of them are really good in terms of free price tag. So,
yeah.
And Beaver Builder is definitely more expensive ecosystem than the other ecosystem. But then it's a solid ecosystem. Most people come to Beaver Builder when their site breaks on the next update of their previously loved page builder. So that's a story, but... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what I really liked is the header and footer kind of generators that they have there with the Beaver template. Beaver Themer, yeah. So that was kind of a mind-blowing game.
Beaver Themer is a very solid product, but thing is you need to know a lot of things to actually use that product, because if you're just using it for headers, footers, then it's fine, but man, it does so many other things. It does conditionals, it does custom data handling. You can actually build all kinds of templates, even templates that are controlled by other plugins. Like last week I made template that were powered by Lifter LMS, but made by Beaver Builder, like your course lesson templates, course right. templates and all that, because Beaver Themer is very flexible in that regard. Okay, I'm not selling you Beaver Builder.
I might buy one.
So
pinging all around.
I have a whole website dedicated on Beaver Builder, which is probeaver.com. So you can go there and explore more about it. And probably anyone, I think most of the listeners who are listening this, they already know about it because I spam a lot. So okay, so last question, which is your upcoming tool or service that has caught your eye attention, other than obviously WP Feedback?
Right. There is a really cool tool called Split Hero.
Yeah, Adam Lacy has been on the podcast
right.
a month back. I think at that time he was in the beta period, like he was still building the product. And yeah, nice guy, nice product.
Yeah, really nice product. And I was looking for something like that, especially now that that I have the ability. And that's like one of the cool things about having a product rather than doing like agency work, that you have now I have the knowledge of how to build websites and do these kind of things. But I also now have a baby, you know, like an online baby that I can actually experiment with and take to the next level instead of just chasing the next project, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm really it's really nice to go deep. So looking into A/B testing tools, and this is what Split Hero does. It gives you the ability to split test any WordPress page or a bit part of your funnel. And now that I'm going to be investing a lot of time and money into one specific website, one specific product, I think this tool is going to be invaluable.
Curious now, your focus is all on WP Feedback, right? So
yes.
Are you still doing client work?
I'm trying to stop. They keep coming. They keep coming with requests. In terms of new projects, we're not taking in anything new at the moment. We're just handling the clients that we already have for the past, you know, we've built relationships over years here. So we're still handling those clients. It's mostly to keep my feet on the ground in terms of how we communicate with clients so that we can bring these lessons into the tool. More than actually, you know, supporting them and doing this. I was shocked with the response from WP Feedback in terms of sales. And I thought it's going to take like almost a year to replace the revenue from the agency, but it took a week, which was just insane.
Well, I can tell you why it took a week, because you were transparent and honest about it. You put yourself with your product and told them, hey, I'm this guy and I made this product. Please check it out. I saw how you know, reached out to people and the thing was presented, because most of the products that get released, they put the product first and you go to the about page. There's nothing else.
Nothing.
There's nothing information, and people don't buy products. The people buy from people. Like if I'm buying your product, I will first check who Vito is, what you've done.
I totally agree.
You have an agency, but you also do rock and roll. Isn't that a perk?
Yeah, the whole package. Rock and roll and WordPress.
Okay, so before we wrap this episode, any last message, maybe in the rock and roll style, for people struggling with client communication in their agency or just the freelancing business?
Yeah. Well, if you're struggling with client communications, stop blaming the client. It's not their fault. That's the biggest point. It's so easy to just throw that responsibility. But there are solutions out there, and there is a way to solve this while not pulling your hairs out, you know? So like, I have a lot of white hair here on the side, and that's a lot of it is from client communication.
Come on, that wasn't rock and roll style. I thought you were going to do in the little singing and all that style.
Right. That's the previous life.
Oh, yeah, because you mentioned that this is my online, you know, my online baby, which has taught me so many things. Guess what? Offline babies also teach you a lot of things.
That's true. I'm working on that as well. don't tell my wife I said that.
I'm also married. I don't I don't tell anything to my wife or even someone else's wife. I know how troublesome it can be. Okay, man. It was amazing talking to you. So before we end this episode, where can people find you?
So if you want to find me, first of all, I'm really, really active on the Facebook group for WP Feedback. So you can search for WP Feedback Community on Facebook. Also, you can reach out on LinkedIn. Just search for Vito Peleg. And I'm pretty active on there as well. And well, in terms of the plugin itself, we have our Instagram, we have a Twitter, a Facebook page. But I guess the best is either on the Facebook group or my LinkedIn profile.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, my pleasure.
With little rock and roll touch. Okay, man. Have a good day. You can join the free Web Creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.